From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me Putri to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesia has utilized the pandemic to catch up the decline. Indonesia suggests creation of World Advisory Council. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo delivered this state speech at the People's Consultative Assembly, MPR, an annual session of the House of Representatives, DPR, and Regional Representative Council, DPD, the 2020 joint session on Friday at the Parliament Building, Jakarta. In his speech, President Joko Widodo mentioned the difficult time that is currently being faced by the world with the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. Until August 13, the World Health Organization, WHO, noted that there are more than 20 million cases of COVID-19 in the world, with the death toll reaching 737,000. Jokowi said, all countries in the world are currently experiencing a setback because of the pandemic. However, President Joko Widodo said that the COVID-19 pandemic must be used as a momentum to catch up the decline. He further said the Indonesian government is not only targeting itself to out of the crisis because of the pandemic, but also carrying out big transformation for the significant progress of the nation.
Target kita saat ini bukan hanya lepas dari pandemi, bukan hanya keluar dari krisis. Langkah kita adalah melakukan lompatan besar. Memanfaatkan momentum krisis yang saat ini sedang terjadi.
The current target of Indonesia is not only to get out of the pandemic and the crisis. Our step is to take a big leap to utilize the momentum of the crisis that is currently happening. The crisis gives us the momentum to catch up, to carry out the huge transformation by implementing a grand strategy. Let us solve the fundamental problems that we are facing. We are carrying out great leaps for significant progress. We must gain the momentum of this crisis. We must simultaneously take advantage of this momentum, and we make Indonesia an equal with developed countries and make Indonesia to be onward that we dream. Moreover, President Joko Widodo stated that the major transformation done by Indonesia must cover all aspects, such as big strategies in the fields of economy, law, government, social, culture, including health and education, that must be carried out absolutely.
Krisis ini telah memaksa kita untuk menggeser channel cara kerja kita dari cara-cara normal menjadi cara-cara ekstra normal, dari cara-cara kerja biasa menjadi cara-cara kerja luar biasa.
This crisis has forced us to shift the work methods channel from normal ways to extra-normal ways, from ordinary ways to extraordinary ways, from a long and cumbersome procedure to be a smart shortcut, and from procedures orientation to result orientation. We must change our mindset and work ethic. Flexibility, speed, and accuracy are needed. Efficiency, collaboration, and use of technology must be prioritized. National discipline and national productivity must be improved. Do not waste the lessons from the crisis. Do not let the crisis produce a setback. Even, we must overcome this crisis to make a leap of progress. President Joko Widodo delivered the state speech at the MPRRI annual session and the 2020 DPRRI and DPDRI joint session. Their speech was delivered in line with the 75th anniversary of the independence of the Republic of Indonesia. People's Consultative Assembly MPR Chairman Bambang Susatyo put forward a proposal to create a World Advisory Council to intensify cooperation among predominantly Muslim nations in thwarting radicalism and extremism. Susatyo, during a prelude to the MPR Annual Session 2020 at the Parliament Building, escorted by Antaranus Agency on Friday, remarked that when the MPR leadership's paid recent working visit to Saudi Arabia and Morocco, they had suggested the formation of a World Advisory Council. He affirmed such a council is believed to aid in fostering relations among predominantly Muslim nations to address the challenges of terrorism, radicalism, and extremism. He stated this will help to give due importance to enhancing cooperation among predominantly Muslim countries in the world in fighting against radicalism and extremism, as well as in maintaining world peace. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern has announced a 12-day extension of the country's COVID-19 restriction after a cluster of cases grew to 29. As stated by BBC.com, there are 4 alert levels in New Zealand, and Auckland has been on level 3 since Wednesday. Ardern said the rest of the country is on level 2 and both would be extended. New Zealand had success containing coronavirus and went 102 days without community transmission. The origin of the clusters in Auckland, New Zealand's largest city with a population of 1.5 million, is still being investigated. The Prime Minister said the decision to extend the restriction was in keeping with the cautionary approach and New Zealand's philosophy of going hard and going early. New flare-ups of COVID-19 are disrupting the peak summer vacation season across much of Europe, where authorities in some countries are reimposing restrictions on travelers, closing nightclubs again, banning fireworks displays, and expanding mask orders even in chic resort areas. As quoted by APnews.com, the surge has spread alarm across Europe, which suffered mightily during the spring, but appeared in recent months to have largely tamed the coronavirus in ways that the US, with its vaunted scientific prowess and the extra times to prepare, cannot seem to manage. The continent's hardest hit countries, Britain, Italy, France, and Spain, have recorded about 140,000 deaths in all. Canada's Public Safety Minister Bill Blair on Friday said the Canada-US border will remain closed to non-essential travel for at least another month. As stated by APnews.com, the statement by the Public Safety Minister came a day after Mexico announced similar measures for its border with the United States. The land border restrictions aimed at controlling the coronavirus pandemic were first announced in March and have been renewed monthly. Many Canadians fear of reopening. Canada has flattened the epidemic curve while the US has more confirmed cases and deaths from COVID-19 than any other country. Essential cross-border workers like healthcare professionals, airline crews, and truck drivers are still permitted to cross. Much of Canada's food supply comes from or via the US. Americans who are returning to America and Canadians who are returning to Canada are also exempted from the border closures. U.S. productivity rose at a 7.3% rate in the second quarter as the number of hours worked fell by nearly half, the biggest drop-off since the government started tracking the data more than 70 years ago. As stated by APnews.com, the Labor Department stated on Friday that output decreased 38.9%, also the biggest decline ever recorded as hours worked fell 42%, with the coronavirus pandemic showing economic damage throughout the U.S. The increase in productivity was the largest since 2009. Labor costs also jumped, rising 12.2%. Friday's report is the first estimate of second quarter productivities and follows the first quarter of 0.3% decline. The rise in labor costs, the largest since 2014, follows a 9.8% increase in the January to March quarter. Defined as the amount of output per hour of work, productivity is the key to rising living standards, and the slow pace of growth in recent years has been a major reason that wage gains have stalled. Ahead of a presidential election that could see up to half of U.S. voters cast their ballots by mail, the U.S. Postal Service is warning some states that they need to provide more time for those votes to be counted. According to correspondence seen by Reuters, the Postal Service has told at least four states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, California, and Washington, there is significant risk voters will not have enough time to complete their ballots and return them on time under current state laws. The Washington Post reported that the Postal Service has warned a total of 46 of the 50 states and the District of Columbia. As stated by Reuters, the letters highlight the possibility that a meaningful number of mail votes in the November 3rd presidential election might go uncounted if they are returned too late. Election officials are bracing for a deluge of mail ballots as Americans avoid public gatherings due to the coronavirus pandemic, which has prompted many states to make it easier to vote by mail. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nico Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
The commemoration of the 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence 2020
is theme Indonesia Maju or Onwards Indonesia. Representing the Pancasila, our state and nation life guidance, which was perfected by logo that says, "Proud of Indonesian products," as efforts to nurture people's love for national products.
The anniversary logo looks like the shield of Garuda Pancasila with onwards in the nature beneath it, symbolizing economic equality and growth for Indonesian people and also the real progress of the effort to present the best for people of Indonesia.
Happy 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news from across the country. The first news comes from Makassar, South Sulawesi, where South Sulawesi Governor Professor H.M. Nurdin Abdullah launched the use of a PCR COVID-19 swab test car at the South Sulawesi Governor's office in Makassar Wednesday. Nurdin Abdullah said that presence of the car was to conduct tests quickly and massively. On this occasion, the governor launched two cars. Each car can examine up to 8 samples simultaneously and produce results in 1 hour. Meanwhile, head of the South Sulawesi Health Service, Iksan Mustari, added that one car will be used to handle the COVID-19 emergency in the hospital, while the other will be used to help examine COVID-19 in the district. Next news comes from Gianyar, Bali. Gianyar Regency has added 4 new tourism villages and 1 tourist village to raise local potential as a characteristic of the village. Head of the Gianyar Tourism Office, A.A. Putrawan, said in a press release last Wednesday that the addition of tourist villages was a means of developing joint economic enterprises that could increase the village's original income. On this occasion, Putrawan directly submitted the 2020 Tourism Village Decree for the villages. By establishing tourism villages, people are expected to raise the potential or local wisdom in each village, both in the form of potential for natural beauty and cultural arts. Putrawan added that by being designated as a tourism village, it is obligatory to organize the tourism village environment, including its facility. This is to be a responsibility of the community or other parties who are partners in developing the tourism village with the support of the local government. Last news comes from Tulungagung, East Java. A group of young people who are members of the Kedung Jaya Technology Service Post, Tulungagung, East Java, succeeded in developing an anti-COVID-19 heating conveyor technology that is equipped with ultraviolet light to kill germs, bacteria, and the coronavirus. According to the explanation of the Kedung Jaya Technology Service Post Secretary, Masuri on Wednesday said, the device with the size of a mini rice milling machine, measuring 1 × 1 meter and about 40 centimeters wide, was specially made to maximize the prevention of the spread of the coronavirus through various objects carried by residents. The way the tool works combines the concept of the conveyor works with scanner screening and heating at room temperature. It is claimed to reduce or minimize the use of environmentally unfriendly disinfectant. In everyday life, according to Masuri, these devices are projected to be placed at the entrance of office buildings, schools, educational institutions, to crowded places such as sports buildings, stadiums, and tourist sites. Masuri and the Technology Service Post team hope that the device will be optimized by the community, local government, and the private sector in preventing the spread of the coronavirus in the current era of new normality. Listener, that was news from across the country. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Hello, Indonesia. This is Cameron McKay, the Ambassador of Canada to Indonesia. I would like to wish you a happy 75th anniversary of your Independence Day. My team and I are working hard to make the relationship between Canada and Indonesia even stronger for the benefit of all our people. Dirgahayu, Republik Indonesia.
Our regular program, Today in History, starts from an event on August 15, 1914. Panama Canal was opened for shipping. The Panama Canal is the one that cuts the Panama Isthmus along 82 kilometers, cuts North America and South America, and connects the Pacific and the Atlantic Oceans. The canal cuts the traveling time of the ship because the ship does not need to rotate through the southern tip of South America. The construction of the canal began in the 1500s, but it started operating after the success of the Suez Canal construction. Finally, the Panama Canal was completed and officially opened on August 15, 1914. The next event is that in 1962, the New York Agreement was signed. The New York Agreement was a power transfer agreement on West Irian from the Dutch to Indonesia. The agreement was conducted on the initiation of the United States of America's diplomat Ellsworth Bunker because the battle over West Irian never ended. One of the results of the New York Agreement was a ceasefire and the transfer of power over West Irian from the Netherlands to Indonesia. This problem started when the Dutch promised to resolve the West Irian problem within 1 year, at the time of the recognition of Indonesian sovereignty at the Roundtable Conference in The Hague on November 2, 1949. But in 1961, this problem was not resolved. This made Indonesia take important steps to liberate West Irian from Dutch hands. The steps taken are diplomacy, confrontation, and military operations. The last event is that in 2005, the Aceh Peace Agreement was signed in Helsinki, Finland. Aceh Peace Agreement is an agreement which ended armed conflict in Aceh. This conflict began in 1975 when Hasan Tiro carried out a movement of discontent with the Indonesian government at that time. Aceh was once a military operation area by the government in power to end the conflict in Aceh. However, the great earthquake that followed the tsunami in December 2004 had made the Aceh movement and the government at that time halt negotiations to end the conflict that lasted more than 25 years. On February 27, 2005, the Aceh movement and the Indonesian government started the negotiation stage in Vanda, Finland with the facilitator of former Finnish President Martti Ahtisaari. On August 15, 2005, the agreement was signed. The peace process was monitored by Aceh Monitoring Mission, which has 5 members of ASEAN countries and several countries of European Union. And listener, that's today in history.
The 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence with the team Indonesia Onward. Happy 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence.
I hope you can understand. help me, hold me, hold me, baby.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today entitling Bangka Belitung transformed tin mining into tourism business. The provincial government of Bangka Belitung Island provincial government is transforming the tin mining sector into tourism. The diversion's effort is aimed at accelerating the development and economy of the people on the island, which is the world's largest tin ore producers. Governor of Bangka Belitung Island, Erzaldi Rosman Johan, in Pangkal Pinang Wednesday said that tourism as a substitute for tin mining is the best solution for the welfare of the people in the future. Erzaldi Johan explained that tin has become the leading sector in the province more than 300 years ago. However, the provincial government of the Bangka Belitung Island cannot fully depend on mining, considering that mining is a consumable and non-renewable resource. He added that if the mine runs out, there will be no replacement. In addition, the government will also face great and difficult challenges in managing the damaged areas as a result of mining. Erzaldi said, currently mining is no longer the favorite. Erzaldi explained that tourism in Bangka Belitung can be a promising sector, because it can produce multiple effects. He explained if tourism can be managed very well, it will increase other sectors such as agriculture, fisheries, micro, small and medium enterprises. So it will have 2-3 times the impact of the mining sector. Currently, Bangka Belitung has been decided by the central government to become one of Indonesia's priority tourism destinations based on the release of the Ministry of Tourism. Currently, there are 10 new destinations in the country that are expected to be able to bring foreign tourists to Indonesia, including Bangka Belitung Island. Therefore, the provincial government is now focusing on the tourism sector and starting to integrate with other sectors. The connectivity between Bangka and Belitung Island is further strengthened so that tourists can explore the beauty of the region and thus extend their stay. Erzaldi explained that Bangka Belitung has 950 islands. Between the two main islands of Bangka and Belitung, there are still many things to explore. Currently, only 50 islands are inhabited and those are not yet occupied have many beautiful places. According to Erzaldi, during this pandemic, Bangka Belitung was among the 5 provinces that the central government focused on opening its tourism early, because this area was very famous for its outdoor tourism. Listener, that was My Indonesia. Today, I'm Nuka Kusmawati. Thank you for listening.
Cium aromamu yang boleh tak setia, ku cari tahu ternyata itu benar. Mulai aku bertanya mengapa kau berbeda, namun kau jawab tak ada yang berubah. Ku sudah tahu yang kau buat selama ini, kau masih bisa tersenyum padaku. Kau harus tahu, ku menunggu, kau akui, kau pasti duakan ku ya. Sudah kau pergi, tidak kembali. Ku sudah terlalu dibohongi, dilukai. Sudah kau pergi, tidak kembali. Ku lebih baik. Ooh.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian wonder. Today we are going to let you know the beauty of Gigi Hiu Beach in Lampung, precisely located in Kelumbayan District, Tanggamus Regency, Lampung Province. This beach is called Gigi Hiu because the rocks look like a row of shark's teeth. It is also called Batu Layar Beach because of the rock that expands to form like a sailboat. Different from beaches in general, which have a wide stretch of sloping sand, Gigi Hiu Beach, which is about 80 km from Bandar Lampung, has no sand. It is because this beach is filled with stretches of artistic rocks that spread naturally along the coast. The waters around the beach are filled with clusters of coral rocks that rise between 1 meter and 10 meters. The view of the towering clusters of rocks like giant clouds emerging from the ocean is what fascinates visitors. So visitors who come can't wait to use their cameras to capture every moment and corner of the beach. Moreover, the rays of the sunrise and sunset make Gigi Hiu Beach even more enchanting. Gigi Hiu Beach is open 24 hours for tourists to visit. To enter the Shark Teeth Beach, visitors must pay an entrance ticket of 10,000 rupiahs. Gigi Hiu Beach is not equipped with tourism support facilities such as lodging, restaurants, and other facilities. Because the location of Gigi Hiu Beach is remote and the journey to this beach is far and difficult, this beach is not visited by many tourists.
With the silence of this beach, its authenticity is maintained. Visitors who come can enjoy the beach more comfortably. This beach is also nicknamed the Hidden Heaven because it is considered to have hidden beauty in seclusion. Before you visit Gigihiu Beach, there are a few things that must be considered, such as visiting during the dry season because the roads are not too slippery. Be careful around the Gigihiu Beach because the corals are quite sharp. In addition, you have to prepare food supplies because there are no food stalls around this beach. That was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Gigihiu Beach in Lampung. This is the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. See you next time.
I am Tania Velázquez López, Ambassador of Cuba to Indonesia. On the occasion of the 75th anniversary of the Independence Day of the Republic of Indonesia, I would like to express my warm congratulations to the people of this sister nation and ratify the willingness to further expand our bilateral relations. Thank you. Oh,
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to miscellany. We are going to inform you about the world of Indonesian art. Stay tuned with us at voinews.id. The world of cinema in Indonesia and around the world is currently experiencing a decline due to the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. However, this is not an obstacle for Indonesian filmmakers to make achievements in the international arena. After the famous director Joko Anwar had success with his film Perempuan Tanah Jahanam, and good news came also from Dibal Ranu and Dian Bokir. Both of them were successful in a dance-themed film competition, which began in June 2020. The film competition was organized by the Eurasia Dance Project International Network, or ADPIN, an Italian body led by international dance mogul Stefano Fardelli. There were 18 countries partnering with ADPIN that come from various regions such as Europe, Asia, the Middle East, Africa, and countries of the Pacific and Central America. The competition created by ADPIN focuses on films with a theme of dance. This event was held to support Euro-Asia students and dancers in a bid to keep expressing themselves amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Of the 11 finalists at ADPIN this year, there are 3 dance films representing Indonesia, namely Lukat or Self-Purification by Dibal Ranu, Look Forward by Dian Bokir's Dimar Dance Theater, and Karsa Jaya, a dance film by Gigi Art of Dance. Of the 3 finalists from Indonesia, 2 were selected. One is in first place, Dibal Ranu, and another one, Dian Bokir, is in second place. Dibal Ranu's Lukat won first place with 2 Italian films, Threesome by Nico Piscopo and 24.42 by Matteo Bitante. As for the second place, there are 2 contestants who were selected. Look Forward by Dian Bokir's Dimar Dance Theater on second place with Silk Buddies by Natalia Quezada from Mexico. The first winning choreographers will be invited to the G-Dance International Dance Festival Poland, which will take place on 3rd of September 2020. They will also receive cash prizes, tickets, and free accommodation to G-Dance. Then for the second place, the dance film will be screened at 2 festivals, namely the G-Dance International Dance Festival and the Krakow Choreographic Center. In addition, the films that win this competition will be screened in several ADPIN partner countries, which will be announced at the end of August 2020. And listener, that was miscellany for today. Thank you for listening.
Picking petals off of daisies, thinking about you on the daily. I just wanna be the one you want. I just wanna be the one you love. Got me thinking you could save me. Everybody think I'm crazy. I just wanna be the one you
touch. I just wanna be the one you trust. Do you love me, love me, love me, love me, love me, yeah? Do you love me, love me, love me, love me, love me, not? Do you love me, love me, love me, love me, love me, love me, yeah? Do you love me, love me, love me, love me, love me, not? This love ticket is a one way. Know your heart is my destination. Not now, but maybe someday. We could have a different conversation. Even though I know you got somebody, and I got somebody too. Still counting down the hours till I'm out of petals on this flower. Do you love me, love me, love me, love me, love me, yeah? Do you love me, love me, love me, love me, love me, not? Do you love me, love me, love me, love me, love me, yeah? Do you love me, love me, love me, love me, love me, not? Do I ever cross your mind? Heaven knows you've been on mine. You're driving me crazy. Oh baby, do I ever cross your mind? Heaven knows you live on mine. Driving me crazy. Oh baby, do you love me, love me, love me, love me, love me, yeah? Do you love me, love me, love me, love me, love me, not? Do you love me, love me, love me, love me, love me, yeah? Do you love me, love me, love me, love me, love me, not? Do you love me, love me, love me, love me, love me, yeah?
Do you love me?
Do you love me, love me, love me, love me, love me, not? Do you love me, love me, love me, love me, love me, yeah?
Do you love me? Do you love me?
Do you love me, love me, love me, love me, love me, not?
Do you love me now?
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we are going to present you a keroncong song entitled Mawar Berduri. The song Mawar Berduri is one of the songs which was composed by Arianto. The song is like a metaphor, telling about a beautiful woman and attracts men's hearts. Unfortunately, she is hurt. The song with pop genre was popularized by Broiri Marantika and became a hit song in 70s. Then the song is resung in a keroncong genre by Tuti Trisedia. Well, listener, here is Tuti Trisedia with keroncong song entitled Mawar Berduri.
Terima kasih. I am Valery Kalitnik, Ambassador of the Republic of Belarus to Indonesia. I would like to say happy 75th Independence Day to the people of Indonesia. May the relationship between Belarus and Indonesia get stronger and provide benefit to the people of the two countries. Cyber harap Indonesia damai sejahtera dan pembangunan sukses. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Okay, let's go.
It is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safidadala. See you on the next English program.